live. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Way of the Truth Warrior. My name is David Whitehead. Super stoked to be with you today. This is going to be a really good interview. We're going to keep it short and sweet and get right to the point. I'm very happy and honored to bring onto this show for the first time. I believe he's one of the top independent journalists out there. He's doing fantastic work over at activistpost.com. I will also include his Twitter handle below for you if you want to follow him on Twitter. His name is Spiro Skouras, and Spiro, you have been pumping out some incredible content during this entire lockdown scenario, covering this all the way back from the beginning, covering the things like Vent 201, the World Economic Forum. You've just recently interviewed Dr. Andrew Kaufman. You've been on all kinds of different podcasts breaking down what's happening in the world, what the agenda is, what's really going on behind the scenes. And I really wanted to bring you on to give your opinion. And so welcome to the show. Very happy to have you here, man.
David, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. And it's good to be here.
So where should we begin? I mean, I started covering this just organically in the beginning of this. I was actually back and forth to Los Angeles, and I started to notice that they were locking down the airports and the whole thing just started to happen. And then I found out that they were doing this whole Vent 201. There were these planned exercises. Immediately everybody brushed that off as, oh, they're just trying to prepare in the event of some kind of a pandemic. And then I was like, okay, well, but why would people like Bill Gates be coming out and saying, well, the next event is not going to be a war, it's going to be some kind of global pandemic? And then you have people like Anthony Fauci saying, well, in Trump's administration, he's going to face some kind of pandemic. And we kept having all these signs and smoke signals that there was a pandemic, there was a concern about a pandemic. How did you look at this? You've been researching these subjects for so long. What was it that really alerted you that there was something more going on, starting with the lockdown?
Well, initially, going back to the end of 2019, I had seen that the central banks and the United Nations specifically were really ramping up their rhetoric regarding climate change and central bank digital currencies. And it was interesting to see those two really start to push a major propaganda, you know, and marketing campaign. And this was leading up to 2020. And initially, as soon as pretty much 2020 hit, everything changed really quickly. Lots of things started to take place. And as I'm sure the viewers can agree, that 2020 has been by far one of the craziest years in recent memory. So many things have happened already, and we're only about 6 months into it. Now, you know, when we look at these type of events that take place, and when we can recognize that there is almost like a concerted effort. If you look at how many of these different countries and players that are involved, they're all on the same page, essentially. And it looks like, from my view, I have been watching them basically set the stage for a new system of control. Now, this, you know, could be basically viewed as a technocratic system of control, which Eisenhower warned of during his farewell speech. He warned of a scientific dictatorship that would essentially come in and overtake the government without people really knowing. And I believe that this is finally what is taking place here. The technology has finally reached the point where they are able to have their new system of control go live. And if we look at major transitions throughout history, typically new eras are brought in through chaos, through some type of an emergency type of a scenario, to then not only cause that chaos, but get order out of the chaos. You know, so we have seen, you know, it confuses people. No one knows what to believe. There's so many different things taking place that many people out there, I'm worried, are missing the bigger picture. And of course, this falls into the problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic, which I believe is what we are seeing right now. And it's from like a kind of a broad overview, I would say that the problem would be the COVID-19, right? This is what is causing all of these, you know, major disasters around the world, the economic collapse that we're seeing take place, which in my opinion, this is by design. This is an engineered, essentially a controlled demolition of this current system in order to usher in this new system. So you have the problem, which is COVID-19. Then you have the reaction. You have the civil unrest that is taking place. You have the economic fallout, record unemployment, and so much more taking place to where people are scared. The middle class is essentially getting wiped out, and they want to get it to the point to where the people are begging for a solution. You know, who is going to step up and save the day kind of a thing? Well, of course, the establishment, the system, has that solution already prepackaged and ready to roll out. And they have been wargaming this exact type scenarios for some time, going back over a decade, or at least, you know, and much further than that. But, you know, one recent example, 2010, the Rockefeller Lockstep document, wargaming out these scenarios of a global pandemic basically taking over the world and how to mitigate that crisis. And in that lockstep document, they determined that a tighter controls from the top down, essentially an authoritarian police state lockdown, which is what we've seen come out of China, was the solution to mitigate that crisis. So then, you know, it rolls up to many other different events and scenarios wargaming this exact situation in which we're living in right now. And even as recent as Event 201, which I'm sure many, many people are out there right now watching this are well aware of this. And that was a pandemic tabletop exercise simulating the coronavirus outbreak, which we are seeing unfold right now.
Wow, incredible synopsis. I mean, this is exactly the line of thinking that I had. Was I've been following this for a long time, starting all the way back with 9/11. And then once you start realizing there's some inconsistencies there, and then we saw the result of 9/11, whatever people think happened on 9/11, the result of it was what started drastically changing things. And there's been a sort of shadow war that's been happening behind the scenes. And it seems like when you watch the mainstream news, everything is presented to people as these isolated events and these isolated incidences. So it's all broken up and it's compartmentalized. So the average person out there, it's very difficult for them to understand what you're talking about, because they're not learning, they're not being taught by their media, by their education system, on how to learn how to connect dots, how to look at these events as not just separate isolated events that are just random coincidences, but that there's a whole history of events and there's a whole story going on behind the scenes, that when you put all of those different puzzle pieces together, a picture really does start to emerge. How long have you been looking into this whole topic of studying these global elites, the plan for the world? What made you suspicious about their plan for the world? Because one of the things I've been talking about a lot is that when I used to talk about this back in like 2007, and I was saying, oh, guys, I think they're going to start some kind of world government program. They want to have a world government. They're talking about this new world order thing. People are like, oh, they're never going to set up a world government. That's just a conspiracy theory. But today, the question isn't, are they going to set it up? It's, oh, but Dave, it's a good thing. They're just benevolent people that want to help bring the world together in this one love, kumbaya, let's just hold hands and get along and change the system and get rid of all the inequalities. It sounds brilliant. What's your problem with the new world order now? So what's been your sort of overall track of being suspicious of the people that are bringing about this great reset?
Well, I would say, you know, going back, I really started to wake up. It was a little over 20 years ago when my father gave me a book written by James Perloff, called Shadows of Power, and it gets into the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And as a young man, you know, a teenager essentially at that point, was blown away by, you know, what I was reading, and that just really opened up Pandora's box as far as how deep does the rabbit hole go. Now, you know, as we go through history, you know, which is can be our greatest example, you know, what to learn from, which is many reasons why, you know, we see them destroying our history and censoring. Their censorship campaigns are increasing. But, you know, moving up, like 9/11, for example, many people nowadays, that was, you know, how long ago? That was 20 years ago now.
Wow, 20 years.
Looking, geez. Yeah, I know, it's wild. Now, looking back, you know, there's a whole generation here that will never know what life was like before September 11th. They'll never know anything other than the post 9/11 police state, which has only continued to grow and expand over the last two decades. Now, there's another whole aspect of a generation coming up in the future that will never know what life was like after COVID-1984, however you want to call it. And all of these events, I believe, have set the stage to get us to the point that we are now. You know, out of 9/11, came the never-ending, you know, wars that we see taking place, the perpetual war system with the military-industrial complex, which Eisenhower also warned of. You know, it has also enshrined and created the surveillance state and the police state, which has just ever been expanding and has really reached a climax to where we are right now. We have never been more surveilled and tracked, you know, and under the thumb, essentially, of the police state than we are right now. And now we have this crisis and, you know, this prepackaged solution, which has been announced officially by the World Economic Forum, who did ask Johns Hopkins to host Event 201. Johns Hopkins hosted it in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that Event 201 is so critical and important. There's about 4 or 5 hours of footage from this tabletop exercise, and you can actually see, you know, they play out this whole scenario as it was taking place in their simulation. And they talk about everything from anti-vaxxers and how to silence them and how to, you know, what kind of censorship programs they would have in place, even including limited internet shutdowns to be able to control the narrative. And, you know, we had seen many other aspects of this tabletop exercise, including jailing people who spoke out and spread misinformation, they called it. And of course, we have to say, well, then who are the arbiters of truth? And this is, of course, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, the establishment, the system. And so the World Economic Forum just announced in the last couple weeks their solution. And this is the Great Reset is what they're calling it. So we have the problem, reaction, solution, and it is right there on their website. And it's incredible to see. Like, here's a quote that I'll briefly read from their website. It says, "In fact, one silver lining of the pandemic is that it has shown how quickly we can make radical changes to our lifestyles. Almost instantly, the crisis forced businesses and individuals to abandon practices long claimed to be essential, from frequent air travel to working in an office." So essentially what this Great Reset entails is it's going to be this new system of control. They're in the process of collapsing this current system that they've had and moving to a digitalized system of control. Everything's going to be digitalized. If you look at, we've already seen now the central banks, for example, are openly promoting digitalized currencies. They call them CBDCs is their version of them, which are going to be highly centralized, controlled, cashless society, you know, tokens, basically. So we have the central banks. They've been working with the private sector and governments for years to build this infrastructure, to rebuild the infrastructure of the global system, financial system, right? And it takes years and years and years to do this. This isn't something that you can just flip the switch, you know, and create overnight. They had to build this. And now it gets to the point to where they're ready to roll it out. And wouldn't you know it, here's this crisis, which would then justify the transition. And these people are openly saying, Klaus Schwab, the executive chairman of the Economic Forum, World Economic Forum, saying that we must, you know, not miss this opportunity. This crisis is a great opportunity for the Great Reset, which we need, which expands basically, you know, it's going to be an all-encompassing system of control, digitalized. Our identities are going to be digitalized, which is in one of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. It's goal 16.9, to provide an identity for every man, woman, and child on the planet. This is one operation that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is working on with ID 2020, for example, to create this. We've already seen them talking about the rollout of digital passports and vaccine passports. And, you know, so essentially our whole being, our whole identities are going to be digitalized. And, you know, eventually what they plan to do is, I mean, this is, and again, hard to believe from hearing just me or someone else say this, but coming from the World Economic Forum's own mouth, their own videos, their own website, the Great Reset is also going to include the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is a transhumanist agenda, which is ultimately meant to merge man with machine. And I know that sounds crazy, but Elon Musk, for example, has already been working on this through his Neuralink project to basically merge man with artificial intelligence. And so, you know, in one of their World Economic Forum videos, they were talking about how there's going to come a point to where we're going to be so integrated with this technology that we will not be able to distinguish between natural and artificial life. So this is just a snapshot of, how these social engineers have planned out the future for humanity without our input. We don't get a say in this. And it's a much broader, bigger agenda that is taking place here. But those are just some of the key aspects that we can physically see right now rolling out and coming our way.
And you're so right, because it sounds like science fiction, but it's actually what's happening. And I think a lot of people right now, if we would have gone back 4 months ago and said, hey guys, they're going to lock down the entire world, they're going to put you under house arrest, they're going to start enforcing all kinds of draconian laws that they were already previously trying to put in, but had so much resistance to. But once you're locked down, you're going to go with it, and they're going to get a lot of legislation passed that they were having trouble getting passed before. And you start going on and on with all the murder hornets and the, on like all the things, 5G towers being pulled up to the top of Mount Everest with a bunch of yaks and like, all the craziness that we have seen happen. Most people would probably, if we went in this little time machine and went back, they would think we were crazy. They would think we're talking about some kind of science fiction film. However, we're all living in this movie together right now. The question is, who's directing the movie? Who's producing it? Who's the financiers? Who's writing the scripts? Who's doing the casting? Who are the key players? And you've just really illustrated a lot of them. Now, if you look at people like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for example, a lot of people look at Bill Gates as this noble billionaire philanthropist who is just trying to use his millions and billions of dollars to go out and help the world and help Africa and help India. And now he wants to take the programs that he experimented on over there and implement them in the West and make it global. And they look at a lot of these organizations. The UN is just there to bring the world together and get rid of these evil nationalists and people that love freedom because they're it's too detrimental to the health of the planet. If everybody remembers back, there was right before this entire thing, there was the Extinction Rebellion movement, the rise of Greta Thunberg, the whole push for the, as you were saying earlier, the climate, there was the climate thing. And so all these people fly under the banner of noble, we're here to help the world, we're here to solve the world's problems, we're here to prevent starvation, war, and economic disaster. But the actions that they take are so criminal that we couldn't even possibly sum it all up in this podcast. What do you think is really the nexus of this? I mean, because if you look at Event 201, as you said, which I just wanted to mention to people, just to remind you, that event was done in October of 2019. So that happened not that long before, but well enough before the actual event that everybody should be aware that this was actually planned in advance. Lockstep, I think that was like 2010 or something that came out with the Rockefeller Institute. But if you look at these things, you got Rockefeller Institute, World Economic Forum, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Clinton Foundation. There's all kinds of very interesting agencies that if you look, they're behind and they're there on all these websites, the UN website. You put it all together, it seems to be the same people. Who are these people and what do they want with us, Spiro?
Well, ultimately, I mean, it's about total control. It's not so much about wealth. I mean, they already have all of the wealth, and the central banks print the money out of thin air. Okay, so this is about control, this is about power, and this is about redesigning the world in their image, which is a pretty frightening image. The more you dig into this, it all essentially ties back into Agenda 21, which I just had recently Rosa Corey on my show, who is a top awesome expert. Yeah, she's fantastic, brilliant. I highly encourage people to look into her work because she's really dedicated many years to exposing this agenda. And so, this is basically meant to inventory and control and reshape the world in their image. And they're going to, it's wild when you see now the technology is ready for exactly this plan to be rolled out. But ultimately, when you see who is involved, the United Nations, of course, is at the center of this. And we do see that the overall goal is global governance, and population control is a big part of that as well. And if you look at who these people are, ultimately their roots, their backgrounds go back to eugenics and population control here in the U.S. and, other countries as well. And that they actually had, like the Office of Eugenics here in the U.S. At one point before World War II, back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, they were actually practicing eugenics, with population control here in the U.S. openly. They were funding these programs that were same programs that were taking place in Nazi Germany. And, you know, after the war, of course, this eugenics program gained a bad stigma, essentially, to it because, you know, the Nazis, everybody hates the Nazis, right? And they were doing this, so it must be bad. And of course, it is bad. But so they had to basically go underground with this eugenics program. And that's essentially what they did. And out of that came the rebranding of this program and this whole agenda under the guise of climate change. And that's really ultimately, you know, how they're able to, you know, control, tax, regulate every aspect of our life, which isn't exactly their plan. They want to be able, they've already set up task forces, for example, to be able to regulate, tax, and control businesses who do not meet the requirements of their allotted carbon footprint that they're, you know, given. So through these mechanisms, they'll be able to control which businesses can operate and which ones cannot. You know, and we're going to see the further destruction of any kind of competition, you know, especially the middle class, which is just going to further elevate these giant mega multinational corporations like Amazon and Google and Apple and these, you know, systems of control, basically. But, you know, ultimately, this is a plan that is taking place right now. And in order for this plan to succeed, the U.S. and the Constitution and all that stuff has to go away. And so we're seeing right now, in my view, the planned destruction of this country, the U.S. and many other nations, you know, that has not, it's not just happening overnight. This has been in the works and for a long time, incrementally over generations, they have been chipping away at our liberties and also preparing us for this transition. For example, the cashless society. You know, how many people nowadays really carry cash? Okay, it used to be cash was king. And now, over the years, they have slowly gotten us to rely less on cash. You know, now it's so easy to use digital payments. You know, oh, I can pay with my phone. I can pay with my app. I can, you know, all this kind of online banking and everything.
Well, they were scaring everybody with the cash itself, saying the cash will spread COVID. But for some reason, the protests won't. But then the protests won't spread COVID. The cash will. And any protests against the lockdown will spread the COVID. So protests for Black Lives Matter, yes, because they're sponsored by George Soros, right? And then cash, no. So you just start to see that the things we're being told no, as if these are the parents of the world saying, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can do that. No, you can't do that. Everything they're saying no to has to do with freedom, independence, having the ability to be, you know, own your own property, gather amongst human beings, have free choice, have free speech, do all these different things. And then everything that we're said we're supposed to be a part of is about, yeah, you can go ahead and tear all the statues down and burn cities and gather together and do all that. We're not going to do anything about that. So it's just this interesting mind game that's happening. And I'm actually still shocked that so many people are falling for it.
Well, you know, it's, I believe they have us kind of right where they want us. They're able to predict with a certain degree of accuracy the movements and reactions of people. You know, so that's for a long time, as the technology has developed, they have been gathering data on everybody, metadata, everything, every little bit of information that they can get on you, on your family, on your neighbors. They have been doing this. And this isn't just so they can tailor ads to your shopping needs. Okay, this is a control grid where they are, you know, as artificial intelligence begins to come online more and more, you know, as the 5G gets ready to roll out, you know, that's going to be the operating system for this new system of control. It's going to run on the 5G. It's going to run on the AI. And, you know, so yes, of course, we do see these double standards of, oh, you can go outside and protest and loot and riot, but you can't go outside to protest the lockdown and get your mask back on, even though, you know, the mask thing is a whole nother aspect of this. But, you know, really getting into this whole thing is, I believe we're still early on in this stage. And as we are approaching, for example, the presidential elections, you know, as that's right around the same time that the vaccine is going to be potentially ready to go around October, November. And that's when right around the same kind of time flu season is around, you know. So I think that we're approaching the potential perfect storm. They have these series of events planned out, played out. They already have a fairly good idea of how we're going to react. And so, You know, this is why, for example, I've been trying to, you know, and for you as well, I'm sure, to get this information out there, to try to make people aware, try to help them to understand that there is something else going on here and look at the information and decide for themselves. You know, we see, I personally think that there's going to be another major shoe to drop as we get closer to the elections. You know, we have seen, for example, this Black Lives Matter movement. I know, you know, Soros has been shown to fund them in the past, but, you know, in a covert sort of way, right? I mean, that's what a lot of people have been saying and thinking. But if you look at it now, this movement has garnered the support of the establishment openly, outright. You have these mega corporations just throwing millions and millions of dollars at them and advertising for them. If you turn on your Amazon Prime, there's a thing right there, big old thing that says, you know, support Black Lives Matter, all this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that, you know, anyone's life matters more than others. That's not the point. The point is that all movement, just like exactly that movement, just like any other movement, has been hijacked and is being used as a tool of, you know, to carry out basically destabilization operations, which is the MO of what we have seen the U.S. and specifically the CIA and other intelligence agencies carry out overseas in other countries to as a destabilization program, which is textbook, as they destabilize the country before they topple the governments and install the new system. And so ultimately, you know, we are, in my view, witnessing not only the destruction of this country, but many others, which have already been softened up and destabilized in preparation for this great, great reset, this transition.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got about 10 minutes left. I want to go on two lines of thought with you. Number one, I remember when a lot of these top globalists, the Zbigniew Brzezinski types, the Kissingers, there was all kinds of papers that were written up, Council on Foreign Relations. There was a lot of talk about how China was going to be the model for the world. I wonder if you could bring that up. And I think it's good to refresh people's memory on that, because if we think about how that was the plan, even in the early 2000s that they were talking about, that they're like, okay, China, we're going to put money and infrastructure into China. We're going to finance the CCP. We're going to build that up. All these different things. We're going to basically play around with that chessboard over there and then get it to a point of technology where it can actually outcompete the US. And then we can use that as a model for the world. And that's essentially what they were openly talking about. It's so coincidental then that this virus originated from Wuhan, China, that there's all kinds of secret handshaking and money exchanges and things going on with the World Health Organization and the Chinese government. In fact, I can't remember the guy's name, the leader of the World Health Organization. He was actually voted in by the Chinese government. That's what won him the actual directorship chair at the World Health Organization. Once the US pulled out their funding, that made Bill and Melinda Gates the top financiers of the World Health Organization. So there's all these little power plays that I think are interesting. And now what are they saying? We have to operate like China. We'll have to wear masks. This is going to be something that is now called the new normal. They're bringing in all the biometric scanners that they already have in Wuhan and places like that in China. In fact, Wuhan is one of the most technologically advanced places working on all this stuff. And the policies, the draconian policies, like because China reacted to this virus by locking everybody down and spraying all the stuff and welding doors shut and all that, then that's the way the world has to do it. So already there was a precedent for China being the model for the world. Could you maybe expand a little bit on that, Spiro?
Sure, David. I think you did a fantastic job right there summarizing it yourself, but I do have a couple things I'd like to add to that. You know, a couple things is, for example, the White House, the U.S., I haven't seen anything official that they have officially withdrawn funding from the World Health Organization. This was Trump, you know, basically using that as a leverage, I believe, to, you know, try to negotiate or get the WHO kind of back in line. But I haven't seen, it's not official yet, but I know a lot of people, they hear, oh, he's going to do it, and they think it's done. But, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, right. You know, as far as pulling the WHO funding. As far as Tedros goes, he's another Bill Gates crony, the head of the WHO. And, of course, as you correctly pointed out, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is very influential there. And is actually a partner member of the World Health Organization. And they were the first non-state entity to become a member of the WHO. And, you know, even though they don't have voting power there, they do wield mass influence there. And it was widely known at the time that Tedros was Bill Gates' pick, basically his endorsed pick. And so, you know, a lot of people try to say, and you know, they try to basically divide and conquer strategy is used on us all the time. Here domestically, geopolitically, any way you want to look at it, they want to keep us divided over race, religion, politics, you know, right, regions, cool. All this kind of stuff. And so people think that, oh, you know, China versus US, it's, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, on some levels, yes, sure. But I mean, it's meant to distract and divide the people further, I believe, because when you look at up at the highest levels, China is signed on to these same programs that the United States is signed on to with the United Nations, for example. Okay, I think that there is much more going on behind the scenes in collaboration with these countries and even the people who are pulling the strings of those countries. So
they're used as a puppet, you know, really. Like they're another glove puppet for the same hand that's trying to influence all these world policies, basically.
Yes, because they're all on board with this cashless society. They're all on board with this great reset. I mean, they're all on board with this greater agenda, you know, of this globalization agenda, ultimately. So, you know, I take with a grain of salt a lot of the stuff I see, you know, U.S. versus China, you know, China's so bad. But you're absolutely right about China being the model that they wish to deploy globally. And this is a very authoritarian model to where people get disappeared all the time, you know, so. Now, when you look at Wuhan, China, which is a smart city, right? It's, you know, has 5G and all this kind of stuff. We are told is the epicenter of this outbreak. And, you know, there's some questions that, you know, I'd like to raise here concerning that, you know, now, whether or not you believe that the virus is real or not, or a hoax, I know a lot of people out there think that the virus is not real. Ultimately, at the end of the day, to a large extent, it doesn't matter too much because they're using this as the vehicle to implement this new system, to roll out this new system. Now, of course, yes, you know, it could be argued either way. And let's just say for the sake of argument that there is a virus or there may be a virus. Maybe it's not a very strong one at this point, but it provides the perfect cover to implement these plans. It provides the perfect cover, for example, if they did want to release some type of a targeted bio attack. You know, like it was very strange. We had seen Iran got hit very hard by this pandemic, you know, right after China was locking down their country. All of a sudden, Iran got hit and many high ranking members of their government were allegedly died due to this virus. You know, so they could, you know, use this virus as cover to implement anything they want. In other words, they could disappear dissidents through their contact tracing programs, hypothetically, if they wanted to. They could show up at your door, David, knock on your door and say, oh, you, our records indicate you came into contact with somebody who tested positive. You need to come with us. And then you go with them, never to be heard from again. Anyone ask any questions? Oh, yeah, the virus got them. You know, it's such a shame. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, that really plays into this. But what a lot of people don't talk about is the fact that on October 18th, 2019, the same exact day that Event 201 was taking place with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, Johns Hopkins, the World Bank was there, the CDC from the US and the CDC from China was there, in addition to the media and the vaccine manufacturers and everybody, right? They're all there in this event. The same exact day that the World Military Games are holding their opening ceremonies in Wuhan, China, which we are told is right to be ground zero. And there was a massive UN parade, essentially, where, you know, a huge ceremony that they had in their opening ceremonies that was dedicated specifically to the United Nations. And they even had hundreds and hundreds of Chinese military troops with the blue helmets on out there, you know, doing their ceremony. So very strange to see those two events taking place and then to be told that Wuhan is the ground zero for this outbreak. Now, new information keeps coming out about when exactly the outbreak occurred, or we're told that it started, and the timetable keeps moving forward in time, closer to the time of the outbreak, time of the World Military Games. We have seen many reports that, like French athletes who participated in this, went home only to get very, very ill, you know. So, I mean, you know, I talked with a former CIA operative that I know. His name is Vern Lyon. I've interviewed him in the past, and I asked him about, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on this? And he kind of just chuckled and said, you know, the World Military Games would have provided the perfect cover, for any nation with a an intelligence agency and a biochemical warfare, you know, program to let this loose there and then blame it on, of course, the seafood market, which is a flimsy story that's fallen apart. They destroyed the market since then, kind of like 9/11. They just got rid of the evidence. But then you look at, you know, everyone, of course, would just turn and look at, well, there's a level 4 bioweapons lab right there. It must have come from there. Totally dismissing the fact that 10,000 military troops from 110 different nations were all in Wuhan at the same exact time as this whole pandemic, we're told, is supposed to kick off. So, you know, it's just, wow. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know yet, is still at this point. But ultimately, we have to take into consideration and see where this agenda is taking us and who are the ones involved under every rock that you unturn. Who is benefiting from this? You know, where is this going? And again, it's these same players over and over.
It's incredible and really good synopsis there. I hope people are taking notes. The final thing I wanted to just ask you about is the solution that they are presenting. So they're presenting solutions for the economy. They're presenting solutions for the world. Now they're going to move into the vaccine discussion. And they've been pushing for decades and decades and decades to try to mandate this health policy on the world or on different populations. They've been always met with resistance, you know, never really overwhelming resistance, but enough resistance to kind of put that on the shelf. And now, right from the beginning of this, Bill Gates and other big leaders were saying, well, the only way we go back to any semblance of normality, he's not even saying back to, we're just going to go back to normal after the vaccines. It's any semblance of normality is going to only happen once you're all widely vaccinated. And now he's working, he wants to have, I don't know how many billion vaccines available by a certain date. I think you're right about the fact that they're going to try to get this done in the fall. And of course, now we've already seen, I was looking at Associated Press and Reuters this morning, where they're already talking about, oh, we see upticks in cases going on. We see upticks in cases over here. This is the second wave. They're already starting that whole narrative. Where do you think they're going with these vaccines? Are these vaccines more than just typical vaccines, which we already have enough problems with? We've been hearing rumors about quantum dot technology, little nanochip size flakes of all these tracker tracer things that are going to be injected in. What's your whole take on this vaccine?
Well, it falls directly in line with this program. Of course, a predetermined program. If you look at the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which is, you know, really driving this push towards global governance that the World Economic Forum has partnered with and the central banks and governments and everyone is partnering with the United Nations and getting behind this global governance program. 14 of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals include vaccination. Okay, so this is a program where they absolutely want it to be mandated. And what better way and time to do so than a great crisis? Okay, so, you know, now many people would say, well, the numbers, you know, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that the numbers are being manipulated. We've even heard the White House, Dr. Deborah Birx, who is on the White House Coronavirus Task Force, say openly that they are putting down COVID as death, you know, as what killed people, basically, even though they may not have, you could have stage 4 lung cancer, for example, and die, and they could say, oh, he had COVID, and then there's an incentive for the hospital to say so, to pad the numbers of financial incentive. So, you know, we've seen a lot of questionable, practices used in regards to the death count. And I would say, in addition to that, with the testing, a lot of people, there's been a lot of questions about the testing. And so now as they start to test more and more people for this, they're saying, oh, the numbers are going up. And this is, in my view, a calculated, move on their timeline to help, you know, justify what they're calling a second wave. But ultimately, with the vaccines, this is a new type of a vaccine that what they're working on. This is a DNA vaccine, which is essentially how they're getting around the long timetable to develop these. Typically, vaccines take anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 years to develop, traditional vaccines, you know, through the whole safety testing and everything like that. This vaccine, they're able, they say, to get around this long timetable and have a quick turnaround because it is a new type of a vaccine, right? It's an experimental DNA vaccine, which, you know, I did an interview with Dr. Andy Kaufman a couple months ago, and he was breaking down how the vaccine is essentially going to genetically modify people. It's going to restructure and re-engineer, you know, elements within your your genome, your DNA, right? And again, I'm not a doctor or a scientist. This is just my understanding from, you know, our research, you know, our interview and the research. Now, that video was taken down very quickly by YouTube. And not only that, but Reuters wrote a fact-checking article on this, trying to debunk the claims made by Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And so I had him back on the show to have a rebuttal, basically give him a platform and opportunity to address this fact-checking claim. I didn't know what he was going to say before I had him on, and I had him on, and we went through the Reuters fact-checking piece, and it said, you know, these vaccines will not genetically modify humans because they are not injecting DNA directly into the cell's nucleus. Well, Dr. Kaufman went and pulled up multiple peer-reviewed studies that show that DNA vaccines do actually inject DNA into the cell's nucleus, which was their whole argument of how they're not genetically modifying people. So these are brand new type of technologies that, in my opinion, Dr. Kaufman did a fantastic job showing that, yes, actually, it appears that these vaccines do and will genetically modify people. You know, so that in and of itself, we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be from that, or even the short-term effects. This is very concerning to me just from a basic health standpoint. I'm not, I try not to place labels on myself, right? And we know that anti-vax is a label that's meant to it's a derogatory term, essentially, to end the conversation and end any kind of debate, right? Like conspiracy theorist is, right? So, you know, I try not to throw that around. And I would say, if anything, people should have the right to choose for themselves whether or not they want to take it, but it should not be mandated. And this is the road that they're going down. And there is nanotechnology in some of these vaccines that Bill Gates is funding and working on with DARPA and the Department of Defense. So, you know, there's multiple different vaccines that they are working on right now, but ultimately they are trying to set the stage, I believe, and they're conditioning us for this by mandating masks, for example. First, it's going to be masks that are mandated. After, you know, the lockdowns, you got to obey. Then it's going to be mandatory testing. And as, you know, the vaccine comes out, what are the chances that the vaccine is probably going to be mandated in some way? And we already have mandatory vaccines, for example, for a lot of children who go to school are required, they say, to take some vaccines. Of course, there have been exemptions, which most people aren't aware of, and the schools don't openly tell you about. You have to be educated about it. But, you know, healthcare workers, and so the list goes on, and they're going to definitely push this. And even though I am pro-choice, people should have their own, be able to make their own decisions. I, for one, my immune system is doing just fine, and I don't need or want their vaccines. But, you know, we asked, I didn't ask, but Bill Gates was asked by, I think it was Corbett or however you say his name from The Late Show. He was asked about, you know, hey, what should we be looking to next? We didn't listen to you 5 years ago when you tried to warn us about the pandemic, and now here we are. So what should we be listening to now? And he says, well, we're really concerned about phase two essentially being a bioterror attack. So, you know, there's all kinds of different scenarios I'm sure that they have on. Yes. I mean, I'm sure they have all kinds of different scenarios that they could war game and issue and run and play. They could blame it on ISIS. They could blame it on whoever, you know, or just say it was the virus itself, a new mutated version. Anything that they can do to justify the fear and the control and the transition into this new system. So I think, you know, everything is on the table right now. And I think that these are the most important critical time in our life and in a major critical time in human history and for freedom. Because we're approaching a fork in the road, and one way is going towards liberty and freedom, and one way is going towards tyranny. And I think we're all going to have to make a stand.
I am 100% behind you on that, and I agree with you. And all I can say is that this is the time, and we have to really start having some serious conversations with people that are at least open to it. I mean, I'm not the kind of person that likes to go and grab people by the shoulders and shake them and go, come on, you got to wake up, the World Economic Forum. You got to break it down in a way that people can understand. That's why I do these interviews. So I want to encourage everybody here, you know, feel free, take little clips of this, take this interview, share it with your friends, go and follow Spiro, go on Activist Post. Spiro, tell people about your website, your blog, any upcoming interviews or things that they can use as tools to help wake up people around them that they care about.
Well, David, thanks so much for having me on. You know, I'm a contributor over at Activist Post, and I'm an independent journalist, and I create content, and I post it on YouTube, and I post it on BitChute, because I think, you know, obviously YouTube is controlled. That is where the majority of the people are, so it can be useful to have a platform there. But ultimately, I think that the censorship that YouTube is rolling out is going to be its own demise in a big way. Like, I think that eventually we need to start migrating away from these systems of control and having our own decentralized, you know, platforms that do not censor, you know. So you can find me there on BitChute, on YouTube, on Twitter, and my work is always over at activistpost.com. You know, I think that as we, you know, approach, you know, as we continue to go through this crisis, and when I say crisis, I'm not talking about the coronavirus, you know, I'm talking about this situation that we're in right now as we barrel down the road towards tyranny. You know, I think that some of the most important things that people can do is to become more independent from the system. You know, do not be as dependent on the system, because the dependence equals control, and they will control and every aspect of your life, and they will try to basically, you know, blackmail or ransom you, hold you ransom to comply. You know, like, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't get a job, you can't go to work, you can't go to the store, you know, you can't buy groceries and everything like that. So, you know, one thing that I think everybody or many people can do is to, you know, start growing their own food, for example. As we see the signs of a pending food crisis, which would be engineered, of course, coming our way, which is a whole nother topic for another day.
Well said, Spiro. And I just want to thank you for, first of all, coming on the show and just delivering a knockout blow to this whole thing. This was amazing. Well done. Your work is invaluable. Keep doing it. We support you. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Don't get pessimistic. Don't get down. There are good people fighting this fight. We need to take that line in the sand, as Spiro was saying, and realize that we have the choice between freedom or slavery. Like Thomas Jefferson said, he said, and the guy that just got his statue torn down, he said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." So that's the choice you have to make, and it's up to you. And all I'm going to say is stay positive and remember that freedom wins, truth wins, and you win. All right. So thank you for tuning in here at Truth Warrior. We'll catch you again very soon. Spiro, let's do it again sometime. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch up soon. Cheers, everybody.